If you're a barber, it's okay to only do cutting.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you decide that you're not doing barbering.
If you're a female who opens an all-cutting salon, it's all of a
sudden... You're
the devil. Yeah, it's
well,
like...
that's just society beating down on women.
What is she doing?
Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently. By now, our listeners know that we recommend that salons go cashless. And with Aura Salonware, you can now accept only the payments you want. Aura Salonware is an integrated point of sale that accepts both card present and card not present payments. That means cards can be kept on file and clients can use ExpressPay to get through checkout in seconds.
We also coach salons to go gratuity-free, and Aura allows you to hide the gratuity line for those using this method of business. With Aura Salonware, you can future-proof your salon with technology. If you are interested in this type of profit maximization, visit aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
Color inventory doesn't have to be so painful. There's finally a solution, and that solution is SalonScale. We have partnered with SalonScale to make this process more streamlined and simple. The SalonScale app will keep track of all of your color used, down to the last drop, and it'll give you a suggested color order list whenever you need it. No more underordering and no more overordering. Visit salonscale.com/DTH and use code DTH10 at checkout for 10% off. I think we wanted to talk about specializing.
Yes, but in a more impactful way, because I think people get really confused by this sometimes. Also, also, there's this misconception. We talk a lot about specializing, obviously, on our social media platforms and things like that. And people are like, you can't tell young stylists or stylists that just are starting their career to specialize. They have to experience.
I just want to, we can tell people whatever we want.
Yeah.
That's number one. Okay, but number two.
Obviously, we're not suggesting that, you know, but there are so many stylists well into their career, I would say 10, 15, 20 plus years, that are doing all the things they don't want to do because they've never discovered removal of things that they don't want to do. And they're stuck.
I think, I mean, I promote people coming out of school specializing. And the reason is because the only reason everyone gets upset about it is because those people were taught
to do everything. Yeah.
And so they can't conceptualize, why can't you just go do it? You can go to barbering school and you just become a barber, but we can't just become a hair colorist.
I look at cosmetology school almost like rotations, like clinical rotations for a doctor. Like, you're discovering what you really want to dive deeper in. And it could be a multitude of things. It doesn't have to just be cutting or coloring.
Well, that's the whole point, is it can be whatever
you're discovering it.
Want.
And then you're advancing it and experiencing it. And then, you know what? You could flip it all upside down like I did in the middle of my career and change it. Like, I was a cutting specialist.
And you probably will. I mean, I did the same thing.
And now I am full on coloring specialist. And now I have even tapered that down even more, and I just do blondes.
I was the opposite. I was I love doing color. But the thing I don't like about doing color is the amount of time it takes. I am not a patient person. I do not like sitting. I do not like waiting. I do not like processing. I don't like any of that. So cutting was, I found so much fulfillment in cutting because you're so actively participating in molding the hair for me. It was such a, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with coloring, I love the result.
Yeah.
I just hate getting there. But I think, I think about people that go to college. You go to college. Some people go to college to be a generalist. They want to go to get a liberal arts degree. They want to learn a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And they want to then go out
into the
world.
They want to have a major minor.
Yeah.
That's fine too.
And they go out into the world and they have a degree and they can get a good job, hopefully. Then you have people that go to school and they're like, no, I'm going to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a liberal arts degree. It's a full-on medical degree. You're specializing in the entire time. And then you're even getting more specialized throughout that process. But for some reason, as hairdressers, you better do everything
or we're gonna come to your house
and throw stones at your window.
And if you speak otherwise, we are going to
get mad.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
It blows my mind. I'm like, why can't we do whatever we want with our careers and it be okay? And if we want to talk about it as a whole, like, we're not singling anybody out when we say this. We're saying, hey, have you ever thought about it? Because we think about it and we do it. And it's okay to specialize. And you can hone in a specialty. It's creating a uniqueness, which is a brand, which you have to have a successful business.
I think it would be better if people that came out of cosmetology school, which is already an issue for me, but when people come out of cosmetology school, that they do specialize in something so they can start their career with something. Because to be a generalist, to be okay at everything and not good mm-hmm. at something seems like you're setting someone up for disaster.
Yeah, and you're holding yourself at this baseline as an artist. Yeah. And then, of course, we become resentful towards our careers because we're unhappy because we're doing baseline and we want to do more, but we're scared to do more. And it just is this vicious cycle. So we're literally trapped.
You know, I would rather someone come to me out of school and say, I learned how to do everything, but I really enjoy doing balayage. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy painting hair. I don't like doing foils. I don't like doing root retouches. I don't like cutting hair that much or blow drying hair that much. I would love, if someone came to me, I would be more likely to hire that person and know exactly where they are and know exactly what I could fill them up with from the beginning. But also, if they want to work on other things, like what that might be and how I can, as a leader, look into that. But I would hire that person much faster than someone who's like, I can do everything really well. I don't believe that and I don't want that.
We sit there and say we're artists constantly. Like, it's like, we're in this artistry. Yeah, then we do the thing where we're going to do everything and then we're basically working in a restaurant.
A service provider does everything. An artist does one thing.
Our clients usually are our canvas. And yes, there is a financial, you know, contract. But at the same time, it's like, we can't have it both.
But there's a financial contract with all artists that are selling their work or being commissioned. There's a level of, you know, you don't go to a sculptor
agreement
and say, well, why can't you do an oil painting for me? Like, you just don't do it.
Or you do customized projects for clients as an artist in your specialty.
Right. And they don't question it.
Not at all.
No. And that's,
I've done it before. You have too. We've ordered from artists on Etsy that have a specific way of doing something. And then they make something for you that's unique to you. And it's like, that's what we do as hairdressers.
Right. Every day, all day.
And we get paid for it. But then when you tell someone in our industry, if I tell another hairdresser, why don't we do that? It's like, you can't tell people to do that.
Well, again, we can tell people whatever we want. And we are telling people. I know you said at the beginning, we're obviously not saying that. But I want to correct that.
We are saying that.
We are saying that people should be able to specialize at the beginning of their career, in the middle of their career, at the end of their career.
Yeah.
And that,
what I meant by that is that
you're honing it.
Don't stop educating yourself. So something that I did when I switched, when I was a cutting specialist, I still would stay up to date in education with color trends.
Exactly.
And I still, because I wanted to see what was coming in so that I could customize my cuts to those colors that were coming in. But what ended up happening is I ended up falling in love with color. And then I ended up expanding my career in color. And now I do the opposite. Now I study cutting, or you and I collaborate so that I can customize my colors to the cuts that are trending or people are asking for. Because that can also hinder you.
Yeah.
Coach Lowe, if anybody knows Coach Lowe, Chabino.
She owns Strange Bird.
Chabino. I call her Chabino.
Yeah, it's Chabino. I call her Chabino too.
And Lowe Chabines, she owns Strange Bird in Austin. And it's an all-cutting salon. And so
The
whole salon. There's not a drop of color in there. It is such an incredible environment of education and sharing knowledge with each other. And she is creating a dent in the Austin community with her salon. And what's awesome about this is that through influence and creating a brand on social media, stylists fresh out of school are seeing this and saying, I want to work for this leader. I want to work in this environment. I want to be a cutting specialist. And so some of them are coming in and never touching color.
And she has no problem hiring.
Outside of school.
She has no problem hiring because it's clear what she's offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of salons, because they do everything,
offer isn't clear.
There's no offer. You're just a playpen of services.
Yeah.
But when you're like, we only do this here, you may feel like you're cutting out a group of people, but you're actually honing in mm-hmm. on a group of people that can find you. I would go work at Strange Bird because I don't want to do color. In fact, I would not want to interview somewhere that I knew was going to suggest or make me do color.
Yeah.
Because that's the world we live in. Like, you go work at a salon, you have to do everything. But if I heard there was a salon where you just did cutting, oh my God, if I didn't own Destroy the Hairdresser and do our own thing, I'd be working for Lo. Because it's genius, because I don't want to do color. But
that was my point. She was like, I don't want to do color. And then so we talked about when she was talking about opening her salon. At the time, she was a student. And then she became a coach. She opened Strange Bird. And she's like, I really, truly want it to be. Because she was like, do I have to offer this? And I'm like, no.
It was a very big risk.
It's your business.
It was a very big risk
that
paid off.
And it was the best fucking decision she ever made, because she's people knocking down her door to work there.
You know, it's funny. That is a risk. It was funny that that's a risk, because this is what barbers do, right? Barbers are like, we don't do color. Well, some do, but a lot of times it's just cutting or shaving and all.
Yeah,
that
if you're
stuff.
A barber, it's okay to only do cutting.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you decide that you're not doing barbering.
If you're a female who opens an all-cutting salon, it's all of a
you're
sudden.
You're the devil.
Yeah, it's
well,
like.
That's just society beating
like,
down
wow,
on women.
What is she doing?
But it's true.
It's paying off. It's working. And it works because it's specialized.
Mm-hmm. I send my clients. I go to New York every 6 weeks. I do my clients that I have there. I love being a traveling artist. And we don't even discuss cuts. And they have their own. Like, they'll come in and I'll be like, I love what your other hairstylist did. And I love being able to share my client with someone. Like, that is so awesome. Or they're like, hey, I really want this. And I can suggest them to another specialist. And that is such a great feeling, because I don't own my clients. And it's so great.
Did you ever do that thing? Growing up, obviously, we were generalists in the salon.
For sure.
We had to do cut, color. Even if you were bad at it, you still had to do it. And I was bad at a lot of things. And I remember, like, I would do that thing, because then you were taught that you need to get a client. You need to convert them to you mm-hmm. from someone if they go to someone else. And you have to like convert their whole thing. You got to do their cut.
Yeah.
You want to be everything for them.
Yeah.
That's what we were taught by product companies. And I remember I had so many clients, and I'd be like, who did your color?
Yes. And they're like, you did. I'm like, oh, I'm just asking. Who did your cut? Did you cut your own hair? Nope, you did.
Nope, haven't touched it since you. Oh.
Yeah, it grew out and then you start backtracking. We've all done that. And if you say you haven't, you might not say it, but you thought it. Did they cut their own hair? And then you're like, no, I cut
I have a
hair.
Very famous client who is currently on Broadway. And I'm not allowed to cut any of his hair because he's on Broadway. And
well, right now you have cut his
hair. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can't cut anything right now because he has a show that another stylist for mm-hmm. the show has to maintain. But I remember I was doing his hair, because I still do his hair for mm-hmm. press and stuff. And I remember touching his hair and being like, did they cut your hair at the show? And my fingers were crossed that they did.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, why? I'm like, no reason. Just checking. I need to know, right?
Yeah.
But there's this, as stylists, we're like, I used to do that. Because if they did go to someone else, I thought it was a technique to make them think that the other person didn't know what they were doing.
Well, that was. We were so in this lacking mindset as an industry. We were constantly in a place of everything was a fucking competition, and we were stealing clients or hoarding clients. And it's like, we don't own people. Like, what are you doing?
It was bad. I mean, I remember I would get someone in my chair and I would be like, oh, who cut your hair? Because I wanted them to be like, oh, why? Like, I don't know what they were doing, but let me fix it.
And then they stay with you.
Yeah, because you
And it was manipulation, gaslit it.
Like, you gaslit them into being your client.
It was fucked up. And you know what? Like, a lot of stylists don't do this anymore, because our generation of stylists is now, we've become leaders, so we're transforming that. But the generation that we had being our leaders would teach us those manipulation techniques.
Yep.
To do that.
And it was your way of...
And they wonder why their salon's closed.
I used to, and then I would do the opposite. Then I would talk people, here's the thing. If you don't specialize and you want to, you're going to naturally do it.
It'll naturally happen.
Because you're going to get someone in your chair that is going to want something that you don't provide, and you're going to talk them out of it.
Yeah.
I am the king.
We used to do that all the time. Yeah.
Oh my God. I do it now.
Also, that is a we teach reactive systems, and that's very much a fear reactive system.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so scared to do this, so I'm going to talk you out of it, or I'm going to try to avoid it. And so we don't even realize that it's probably something like so deep rooted and internal from like something that has nothing to do with our industry that now we're bringing into our industry.
We are proud to introduce you to Hair Story. Hair Story is known for their clean and safe ingredients, but did you know that they have one of the best affiliate programs on the market? You can earn 25% on all sales when your clients use your custom Hair Story link, plus receive money on your purchases made by hairdressers you refer. For clients, they will receive 15% off their first purchase using your link. Need back bar? No problem. As a Hair Story pro, you will unlock generous back bar pricing. Ready to try new wash for free? Visit hairstory.com/DTH to get pro access today.
It's funny because Sid does blonding. Like any person that walks into your, that
if
goes to
bleach.
Sid. If there's bleach, Sid does it.
Yeah.
I am terrified of using lighteners and, you know, I understand toning. I just don't believe it'll work. So I get like I don't trust anything. Like where other people are trusting the process, I'm like losing my mind. It's probably why I can't do color. So Sid.
Love that process.
Sid loves doing it and she's so good at it. But like, if I had someone sit in my chair and I was a generalist and I didn't want to do color and they were like, they had black hair, level one, and they wanted to be a level 28, I'm like, I would talk them out. I'd be like, it's really going to damage your hair and I don't know if your hair can handle it. So I really think we should just stick with like a level six. Like I would get them nowhere near what they wanted.
And then they trust us because we're the professional. And which is also fucked up.
They would either they would either trust me and stay with me or they would say I'll go somewhere else. Either way, I was relieved. And this was before we kind of lived in a world where it was like, you know what? I don't do that, but I have a colleague who is amazing.
Yes.
And maybe they work in your salon, maybe they don't work in your salon. But just now do we live in a world where that's becoming more common. Yeah. Like, I have a colleague that does. I don't do that. I can't get you there, but I have a colleague who can get you there.
Also, I think it's one of those things, and we taught this a lot more when we first started this company. I think it's a little bit more desired now. So it's not really a topic of our education anymore.
Well, we think that and then we go out into
that's
the world
true
and
too.
Realize
but really,
not happening.
Really talking to them about, and when I say them, salon owners, of allowing your stylist to tell you what they want to specialize in. Like, let them find their own brand within your business so that then you have this plethora of a team and that can do anybody that walks in your doors. And I think that's so powerful too.
Well, here's the thing as well. If you have, this is why I'm so keen on letting people out of school specialize. If you have someone who's fresh out of school and let's say they're like, I'm really good at barbering.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not very good at anything else. Everything else scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I'm really good at barbering. Let them build their business on barbering so they can make money, do what they're good at.
Get better at it.
Keep your reputation intact. And then once they have that
less
built
reduce.
Up. Less adjustments and services. Let them build their whole career like that. And then you're not killing their confidence early on, which is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're feeling confident. Now they're ready to, you know, learn this new thing and experiment this new thing because they have a base for money. They have a base for the skill that they want to do. They're confident. They feel good coming to work. But what we've done for most of our lives as people in the industry is when people come out of school, they come to the salon, we give them whoever walks in, they fuck it up. We blame them, tell them they need to practice and learn.
Or we say, they just don't got it.
They don't got it. Or we give them a title like new talent. We make the
babies,
whatever you want to
minimize them,
whatever you want to call it. But the reality is you're slowly just ruining everyone's confidence. And then they all of a sudden can't do anything. And I've had a client ruin my confidence during a consultation to the point where I was like, do I even know how to do hair?
Yes.
It happened a lot.
Yeah.
It still happens. If I have someone who's like,
it still happens
nuts.
To people that have been in the industry forever. Like, I think that's what we have to do. It's like, do what you want to do. Do what fulfills you. Do what you love. And then while you're doing that and you're building financial security with that and getting better at it, then go off and start learning other things.
Yeah, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's so many programs out there that are like, we have an 8-year training program where we're gonna train people that come out of school
to do every service and everything. And it's like, that's great. But you know why that doesn't work? Because not everybody wants to do everything. And when you have someone that you're training that maybe they don't want to do color and you're trying to teach them color, you're going to find that they have a hard time learning color.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And we have to be okay.
It's miserable. It's not rewarding.
It's not rewarding. And I think, you know, salon owners, we need to be a little more comfortable saying, how do you want to start your career? That doesn't mean that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But how do you want to start? And let me hone in on that. Some people, they get out of school and all they can do is blow dry. Fine. Let them blow dry.
Yeah. Great.
Let them be a blow dry specialist.
I mean, that's a whole specialization in there.
Yeah. Look at blow dry bars.
Yeah. Like, done.
It's not just about making quick money. It's like, if that's what you love, I love blow drying hair. I know that some people hate it.
I hate
washing hair.
I don't mind washing hair.
See, it's like, so there's all these things, but it's like, if you're trying to build a career as an artist, it's going to look a lot more like specialization than generalization.
I also think if you are well into your career and you're like, I've been generalized for so long and my money is secure that I don't know how to transition out of this. One, just stop posting everything you don't want to do on your social media.
Start marketing yourself as the specialist.
And what will happen, it will naturally evolve into your... That's literally what I did when I went from... When I went into color, I was doing all fashion colors. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to do those big projects. And I just only started posting my natural blondes. And I was still doing... I was still doing all those fashion colors behind the scenes because it was my consistent money. And eventually, once I got so busy in my other area that I really wanted to focus on, I then had to tell some of my last bit of my fashion color clients, like, I'm going to refer you out, but if you want this, this is where I'm at. And I actually had some clients, when they grew out of their fashion colors, came back to me down the road. But in the interim, they had someone else.
I remember when fashion colors came out and I was like, I'm going to kill myself. I can't deal with this.
I'm so excited. And then... 2 years in, I was like, I can't do this forever. But there are people out there that do it forever and they are fucking good at it. Because they're doing what they love to do.
I remember thinking, now I have to go take classes on how to do pink pony hair. And I don't want to do... And then it was like, I don't have... But again, I didn't know I didn't have to until I broke out on my own. I think that's another reason why people do rental. It's not just...
Or they go independent,
Yeah, or independent because... I don't want to do certain things. This is why we're on this mission to help commission salons change the way they think, because it doesn't have to be the way it's been done. So to the person who said, you cannot tell people out of school to specialize.
And you're coming out of school and you want to specialize?
We're here to let you know that you can leave school and you can specialize. And if you've been doing hair for 25 years, you can stop doing the things you don't want to do and focus on the services that you do want to do. And start treating yourself like an artist that is great at that one thing and not okay at all the things.
Next time on Destroy the Hairdresser, the podcast. I want to create a better environment for my stylist. I want to create a salon that's actually going to make change.